Kevin, when you do your research, how do you go back hundreds, maybe even thousands of years? How do you find that kind of information and data?
You have to be very careful. You spend a lot of time in archives.
Absolutely.
Looking at old manuscripts, looking at old newspapers, looking at translations of various old documents. But you can also take a look. I mean, there's a UFO sighting in the Bible. If you take one of the interpretations of Ezekiel and he saw the wheel, which it turns out Ezekiel had been a Israeli prophet who had been captured and taken to Babylon. And in 2003, I had an opportunity to tour Babylon. So I got to see the palace where Daniel saw the handwriting on the wall and all of that stuff. So you just have to take a look at what has gone on, the interpretations of things. And you have to remember that the people in that era were describing what they saw in the words and the terms of that era. So when a Roman historian, for example, talks about a fiery shield in the sky, that could be interpreted as a disc-shaped object flashing across the sky, but it could also be a meteor or something else, something that they may not have understood. So you have to take a look at all of that and try to be very careful in your interpretation of these ancient writings.
Well, that's true, too. Well, let's go back to this 840 AD event in France. Tell me about that.
This was it was talked about in a number of different books. Brad Steiger has a couple of interpretations in two or three of his books of these people who were about to be stoned to death or were stoned or going to be executed, and they talked about having cloud ships, and they'd come down in the cloud ships, and this may be one of the first UFO crashes. A cloud ship, of course, could be interpreted as some kind of an alien spacecraft, a ship that travels in the clouds as opposed to something on the ground. It also could be interpreted as something with huge white sails on it, but you would think in 840 France, they would be familiar with ships with sails. The execution was stopped by the local religious leaders, and the people were supposedly engaging in some kind of commerce with the locals, which makes it kind of interesting and makes you wonder about sort of some things like that. But it's an event that's appeared in a number of different UFO books with a suggestion that this was some kind of a UFO crash. So I thought to begin the book, we'd start with something like that and move forward from 840 AD, even though there were other events earlier than that. There was something from around 2000, around zero, I suppose, the year zero, about 2,000 years ago, that came out of New Mexico and some of the hieroglyphs and the petroglyphs there that suggest something might have crashed. But that interpretation to me was a little bit shaky, so I wanted to get something that was a little bit more modern and something that we could kind of get into. There's a second case that follows that one also around that time, so maybe a few years later, that sounds suspiciously like ball lightning, something that we've only recently come to understand, where sort of something crashed through the window of a castle and kind of bounced around on the inside. Sounds suspiciously like ball lightning, but I thought it was important to bring that forward because it had been discussed in some UFO books as a UFO event. I'm not sure that it is.
Back in then 1862, there's one near the Indian Ocean. You remember that one?
Well, yes. I think it was a guy from Houston had talked to a reporter there and talked about how they had been shipwrecked and saw this huge thing crash into a cliff. And they went up there, and there were giant corpses, giant-sized individuals involved in that thing. And it drove a couple of the people crazy. One guy committed suicide. But this was an era where newspapers tended to take everything and print it, regardless of the source, and they weren't above making up some stuff if it was a really, really slow news day. So that one sounds suspiciously like some guy telling a tall tale and the reporter overhearing it says, "Yeah, I'll write that down and we'll run with that." There's also one from Nebraska in I think it's 1882 that sounds like a UFO crash, and they couldn't get close to it because the wreckage was so hot, and they found little tiny gears and things like that that Jerry Clark, again, was involved in investigating through the newspapers. And that was how we found some of this stuff. You go back and you read the old newspapers at the time, and you find some very interesting things in those newspapers.
Do you remember the case, I think it was New Guinea, where a flying ship was observed by some kind of a minister and his flock?
That was Dr. Gill, and it was Papua New Guinea.
And the creatures were waving back or something?
They seemed to be standing on some kind of an outside deck, and they communicated by waving at one another. I know Hynek was very impressed with that case, given the credibility of Father Gill. So mm-hmm. Hynek really liked that case.
I mean, what could that have been, Keith?
You know, there are a number of cases, and I think of the McMinnville photographs in this as well, where there are two possible explanations. It's a hoax or it's extraterrestrial. There's no middle ground. And I know that a lot of the skeptics and the debunkers say, well, there is no interstellar travel. They can't get here from there. Therefore, anything like that must be a hoax. On the other side of the coin, if you accept the idea of interstellar flight, then these cases could certainly be real. So Father Gill either observed a craft with the creatures on it waving at him, or he made the whole thing up for some bizarre reason.
Or he made it up. But what are the odds of that?
I don't think it's very good. I think he observed something
strange.
Something very strange, and reported as accurately as he could exactly what he had seen.
Did they have flying craft, balloons at that time? Dirigibles?
Well, back in the first observation of enemy maneuvers was during the Civil War. And George Custer, yeah, that guy, again, we get to Custer, made a number of ascents in the balloons and would write down what he saw and then communicate it to the Union forces on the ground. So that's like the first aerial observation. And when I was in flight school, we had a guy named Merkel who just was fascinated by Custer and tried to get Custer awarded the Army Aviator's Badge because he was one of the first people to go aloft and do a military mission. And given Custer's history, I'm hoping he failed in his mission to get Custer an aviator's badge.
When I got a hold of Leonard Stringfield, it was to get information about that Cape Girardeau, Missouri crash, because I was in St. Louis at the time, and he had done some work on that. That was a bizarre one. I was trying to find the sheriff, who was long since gone, who was one of those involved in that case. Did you look at that one?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Communicated with Charlotte Mann, who is the main witness in the case. It was her grandfather, who was a minister, who was called out at night to some kind of a crash, and he described beings that was clearly not human. And there's a little bit of uncertainty of whether or not one was alive when he got there or all of them were dead, but he prayed over them and that sort of thing. Then he was taken home by the sheriff and told his family what he had seen. And sometime later, a photograph surfaced of this that Charlotte Mann saw of the aliens. And Lynn Stringfield thought from her description it may be one of those photographs that circulated on the Internet or has been circulated on the Internet. But he sent her a copy of the photograph. She said, no, the one she saw was different. Her sister has corroborated her story, and I think it's the brother of the sheriff who remembers something about it as well. So Charlotte Mann is the main witness talking about this event that took place in Cape Girardeau. Clearly the beings were not human. She gives a good description of that. I know that Len was very impressed with that case.